What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you here on another edition of Phillies Today as we wind down the regular season here and head into the final weekend of baseball. The Phils, National League East champions, and they finally clinch that first round bye last night with a win and a Brewers loss in Pittsburgh, which is obviously massive. There's truly nobody in baseball or on planet Earth that can convince me that having a bye in the first round is a bad thing, which people have argued based on the results the last couple of years. But skipping a three-game series when the National League is as balanced as it is this year is obviously a massive, massive deal. So great for the Phils to be able to wrap that up and to secure that they will be playing in the National League Division Series this year. Now, the magic number to clinch the number one overall seed is 4, which means they need a combination of 4 wins and Dodgers losses. So with them holding the tiebreaker over the Dodgers as well, that obviously becomes a factor or something to watch for heading into this final weekend of the season with the Dodgers and the Phils. But the Padres are still in the mix as well. We'll get to that in a minute. And like I said, want to talk about just this National League picture as a whole. So before I get into some more Philly-specific related things, I want to talk about the National League picture right now. And that's going to be the majority of this podcast. And just how I see things shaking out, what matchups I think would be ideal for the Phils when they host the NLDS next weekend, which is just insane to say, by the way. I'm a combination of excited, I can't believe it's here, and also just so nervous because I think we have to remember that as exciting as the last couple Octobers have been and as deep as the Phillies have gotten, that's far from a guarantee. Things can really end in a hurry, especially in a 5-game series to open up the postseason. And a couple of home losses and you're in a really bad spot, similar to what has happened with the Braves over the past couple of seasons. So do not take this for granted. Show up to the ballpark, be insane, take in that atmosphere, and just enjoy the postseason because it truly is, when things go right, one of the greatest experiences in sports to be a part of that Citizens Bank crowd. And hopefully it ends with how we all want it to, which would be a parade down Broad Street. But anyway, before I get ahead of myself, the National League picture, let's talk about it. As of right now, the standings on Thursday evening are as follows. You know, you have the Dodgers in front of the Phils as the one seed by a half game, with the Dodgers playing the Padres once again tonight. The Phils are off. And again, the Phillies own that tiebreaker. But no matter what, it will be the Phils and the Dodgers with the top 2 seeds, unless the Padres, who are 3 games back of the Dodgers, make a last-second push to win the National League West. Again, they have one more game against them at Dodger Stadium tonight, so it could be a 2-game lead heading into the final weekend, but I expect the Dodgers to win that division still, with the Dodgers playing the Rockies at Coors Field this weekend, and the Padres still having to go to Arizona, where those games will obviously be very meaningful to the Diamondbacks, with them fighting just to get in and a playoff spot still on the line for them. And I'll get to the Diamondbacks in a little more depth in a second. Obviously, they have a massive weekend coming up as well. But then you have the Brewers, who are locked in, the only team that's locked in as the 3 seed, with them winning the NL Central, so they will 100% be hosting the number 6 seed in the wild card round, whoever that may be. After that is when it starts to get really interesting right now. And it's currently the Padres holding the number 4 seed as the top wild card, followed by the Mets, followed by the Diamondbacks, who are tied. And the Braves being 1 game behind both of them as they're on the outside looking in. And of course, in typical Mets fashion, their postseason clinching scenario and hopes are pushed back based on a hurricane that is now Hurricane Helene, which is sweeping up the coast and has postponed the Braves-Mets series in Atlanta there, with 2 games being played as a standalone doubleheader on Monday, which is just insane and is going to be actually really fun to watch. But as a Mets and a Braves fan, going to be nerve-wracking for them for sure. Glad the Phillies don't have to take part in that. And it's almost similar to how the Phillies had to play a doubleheader in Washington, I believe, a couple of years ago before they could clinch in 2022. But this time, it's both teams having playoff implications on the line. So that'll be really interesting to watch. And the Mets are in Milwaukee this weekend, with the Brewers, like I said, having nothing to play for. And the Braves will be hosting the Royals, who are still fighting for wild card positioning in the American League, which has also turned into a pretty insane race with the Tigers. How about the Tigers being one of the best stories in baseball right now, just going on an absolute tear over the past month or so, had another incredible win against the Rays on Thursday afternoon, coming back from 3-0 down and reeling their way into the postseason practically after they were essentially left for dead after the first half of the season. They sold off some pieces even. But they play the White Sox this weekend with a chance to clinch, and the White Sox themselves have a chance to clinch some history, as they are still at 120 wins and are looking to break the modern record at 120 losses, and they are looking to break the modern record for losses in a season, which is just absolutely insane. And they have been another level of bad this season. And like I said, the Tigers will have an opportunity to play the White Sox this weekend and clinch a berth in the American League wild card. I believe that their magic number is 2. So, but with all those teams, back to the National League that I just mentioned, you know, here's my order of opponents I prefer to face from least to most in a division series here. And I want to preface this one more time by saying, I think now more than ever, every National League team that gets in truly has a chance to go to the World Series, which is something in recent years you couldn't always say. You know, with the Phillies facing the Marlins last year and some other wild card teams in this updated format that haven't been as competitive as they probably should be in a postseason scenario, there really is no gimme matchup heading into the postseason. But here we go. The Padres, certainly the team I would like to play least at this point, considering the ridiculous pace that they've played at since the All-Star break. The 41-18 since the All-Star break, and are just getting some really quality starts out of their pitching rotation with Dylan Cease, who has proven to be an awesome acquisition for them. They got him in the offseason. Wanted the Phillies to trade for him at some point, but has really done a good job for the Padres this season. And you combine him with Joe Musgrove, who's back from injury, and Darvish, who's back from injury, who's had a really good couple of starts since coming back, and even Michael King, who was part of the Juan Soto deal and has pitched really well all year for the Padres. That combined with Machado, who had another RBI season, Tatis, Arraez, and the rest of that lineup, and they have the talent to do it for sure. And I think, plus, I've seen it at 11 or 1,200 on some sports books. I think they're honestly a great bet to go and win the World Series. And they scare the crap out of me, for sure. I think they're just a really talented club. The bullpen that they've been able to bolster at the deadline, getting Jason Adam, getting Tanner Scott, two really good back-end guys in there as well to pair, you know, with Robert Suarez and with the guys they already had. I just think they're a really strong team, and they're kind of built really well from top to bottom. So there's absolutely a possibility, if the Phillies get the one seed, that they would play the Padres in the NLDS, because the one seed faces the winner of the 4-5 series, and the two seed faces the winner of the 3-6 series. So there's a strong possibility. But moving on, after the Padres, I've got the Dodgers. And obviously, one of these two teams will get the other bye, like I've mentioned. I'm assuming it's going to be the Dodgers, but stuff can change within the last weekend of the season. Of course, you just worry about the top three of their lineup, maybe being the best in, what, the history of baseball, with Shohei, Mookie, and Freddie Freeman. But the one thing that leads me to believe that the Dodgers might struggle in the postseason, why the Padres scare me just a little bit more, is the status of their rotation with all the injuries they've accumulated. I guess their rotation for the DS in a 5-game series as of now would be, you know, Flaherty, Yamamoto, who's still working his way back from injuries and hasn't taken down a ton of innings since he's returned, and Walker Buehler, who's in that same category and has struggled this season since coming back from major surgery. And they've tried to get some innings out of their younger guys like Bobby Miller, like Landon Knack, but they've really struggled. Bobby Miller got hammered against the Phillies the last time they played him. Trey Turner lit him up for a grand slam, and I think he gave up 8 runs in that game. So I don't see them being as trusted in a postseason scenario. You know, they've floated the idea of Shohei potentially taking down innings for this team, maybe out of the bullpen. I would be really surprised if that ended up happening, just given the amount that they gave him this offseason and the amount of years that he is signed to be a Dodger. I would think they would take a long-term kind of point of view there. But if that's a possibility, that would be something that would certainly scare me a little bit. But the lineup is still really good, no doubt. And I know I've talked about before how the lineup for the Dodgers is a little top-heavy, but I think they've gotten some good reinforcements in there. Max Muncy coming back from injury. They got Tommy Edman, who they picked up at the deadline, who's been pretty good since he's come back for the Dodgers. So they'd probably be my second team I'd least like to face. And moving on to number three, there are those New York Mets, who have really turned into one of the most interesting teams in baseball with the dominant second half of the season they've had. And I believe since London, they've had the best record in all of baseball. And since the All-Star break, they've been really good as well, going 38-24. They obviously just took 3 of 4 from the Phillies this past weekend in what was a critical series. They worry me not based off of the matchup on paper. I think the Phillies have more talent in it in pretty much all areas, including the starters, the lineup, and their bullpen as well, which the Mets back end of the bullpen, while Diaz has been much better lately, I still think the Mets' back end of their bullpen has some worries to them and, you know, has some inconsistencies there. But it's more based off the fact that since their, you know, horrific start in April and May, they've just played some really good, consistent baseball for well over half a season now. Clearly, Lindor turning into an MVP-caliber player has been massive for them. Somehow, Jose Iglesias rising from the dead and being a good hitter has been a big development for them. You know, he's hitting over 400 at Citi Field this year and, like, over 100, 110 plate appearances, which is just absolutely insane. But those two guys, Vientos coming into his own and taking over that third base job for good, it seems like. He's had a really good second half of the season. So, for me, their success, though, pretty much stems off of their pitching staff turning into one of the most quiet, dominant staffs in the league this season. I know they're third in team batting average against, and it's really been on the backs of the guys who, you know, frankly don't look incredible on paper, but have had either breakout or renaissance seasons. And, you know, you got David Peterson, who's got an ERA under 3, Luis Severino, who looks like the guy we saw early on for the Yankees in like 2017-18, who was making all-star appearances, Sean Manaea, who has pitched really well in a one-year prove-it deal and is back as a starter, and then throw Jose Quintana in there as well. And I think the Mets will feel pretty comfortable starting all those guys in a postseason setting. So as somebody who despises the Mets, you know, someone who has college friends who text me every time the Mets do something notable, especially this past weekend against the Phillies, I simply don't want to face them because of how hot they've been and just because of where, you know, I guess they are as, you know, vibes-wise and as a team-wise right now. It just seems like there's something a little special going on there, which I hate to say, but a lot of 2022 Phillies vibes in them. And look, the Phillies in 2022 didn't have a spectacular September, but it feels like the Mets have just been kind of building similar to the way the Phillies have during the 2022 season, just getting better as the season went along. So the Mets, between all of that stuff, just not the team I'd like to play. Just the Phillies are a superior team on paper, but in the postseason, they're just one of those funny teams that, you know, give me a bad feeling, and I think that they've been doing it pretty consistently and on a long enough sample size to where you should worry about the Mets a little bit if you end up in a matchup with them. So I will follow them up with the Atlanta Braves, who are on the outside looking in right now, as I've mentioned. But similar to the Mets, the rotation, it's really tough, man. You have Sale, who's going to win the Cy Young in the National League, followed by Max Fried, who's done it in the postseason a bunch of times before, and Spencer Schwalenbach, who has pretty much owned the Phillies all season. So while there's, you know, a chance they don't get in, I'd be surprised if they did end up making, I wouldn't be surprised, excuse me, if they ended up making a little noise, because that's not an easy rotation to face, especially when it's a best of five scenario. And sure, they've been bitten by injuries really bad. It looks like Austin Riley won't be back for them this year. Obviously, we know Acuna's gone. Obviously, we know Spencer Strider won't be there. But based off of what they've gotten from that lineup, if they're able to muster up just enough and that pitching staff can kind of carry them and they still have good guys at the back end of their bullpen led by Raisel Iglesias, I wouldn't be shocked if the Braves, if they got in, made a little noise and, you know, maybe won a series. So the Braves are a team that I wouldn't love to face either. We'll see if they get in. We'll see how this last weekend and the doubleheader on Monday plays out. But they're an interesting team to look out for sure. And now getting into the teams, the two teams, which I probably think are the best matchups for the Phils. Both the Brewers and the Diamondbacks are series where I think I'd really like the Phillies' chances for a couple different reasons. Now, the Brewers have won the NL Central and have been able to, you know, have some better offensive production than they typically have with all the right-handed bats that have produced for them this year. Like, Willy Adames has had a really quiet 3,100 RBI season. William Contreras turned into one of the best hitting catchers in baseball. Jackson Chourio has had a terrific rookie season. But I don't think the depth in their rotation has been at the level it has in recent years. Because aside from Freddy Peralta and Frankie Montas, who has kind of found something there ever since being acquired, I'm not really sure who to be scared of rotation-wise. They acquired Aaron Civale, who's been pretty solid for them. Colin Reyes had a really rough September. Obviously, they have a good bullpen, one of the best relievers in the sport, and Devin Williams. But depth issues in the rotation and the lack of left-handed bats in the lineup with Yelich done for the year leads me to believe that they would be okay facing the Brewers in a five-game scenario. And to round things out, kind of on the same level as the Brewers, is the Arizona Diamondbacks, who I feel comfortable with for different reasons. And I understand people are going to give me some pushback on that just based off of what happened last year. But to me, I think just if you look on paper, simply if their name wasn't the Arizona Diamondbacks, this is the team along with the Brewers that you'd want to face. And I think they're rotation for similar reasons isn't as scary as some of the other teams. And I know they have Gallon, they have Kelly, but after that, you have Eduardo Rodriguez, who hasn't been great since coming back from injury. Jordan Montgomery signing, which has turned out to be an absolute disaster for them. He's been horrible this year. And then you have Brandon Faught, who, yes, beat the Phillies last year in the NLCS, but just has not pitched that well either this season and kind of hasn't been able to build off of what he did in his rookie year. And the lineup is solid. It is solid for sure. Ketel Marte has had a really incredible season. If he doesn't miss a few weeks there, I think in August, early September, he might be in that MVP conversation, despite, you know, Shohei just putting up absolutely ridiculous numbers and 50-50 season, all of that. Shohei Ohtani undoubtedly going to be the MVP, but Ketel Marte is right there too. And I feel like I said, the most intimidating element of the D-backs is that they're simply the D-backs. And you just think about what they did last year. The Phillies have struggled against them historically. Like, the Phillies had a bad series in Arizona that was kind of at the peak of their struggles earlier this summer. And I just think that if you get past the fact, it's almost similar to the Marlins in the wild card round last year. If you get past the fact that they are the Diamondbacks, I think the Phillies would have a very good chance against them. So that's what I think would be ideal matchup-wise for the Phillies heading into the NLDS and who I kind of prefer to play. And I think that the matchup at this point is probably more important than the seed itself. We'll see if they end up clinching the one or the two. I still think they're going to go for it, but maybe not as aggressive as they might, just because, like I said, I think the National League is really balanced this year. And if you could get an ideal matchup as the two seed with either the Diamondbacks or the Brewers heading into the NLDS, I think that's what you'd prefer over a one seed where you have to play maybe the Padres or the Mets. So those are my thoughts on the seeding, on the National League Division Series matchup, and who I think would be ideal for the Phils. Want to transition here, talk a little bit about a topic that has been a discussion here at WIP with Phillies fans across social media, and I just see it being talked about a lot. And that is, what should the Phils do in terms of Sanchez and Nola, and who starts game two and three of the division series? Now, I understand that there is probably, I would say, in all reality, a 90 to 95% chance the Phillies end up going with Aaron Nola, just given what he's paid. He got the big contract this offseason, the history that he has pitching in the postseason, which has been really good. And I just think with Chris Sanchez, the home and road situation is so well documented now. I would absolutely be okay with Christopher Sanchez taking down game two for the Phillies. I've mentioned it a ton before, but the Sanchez home ERA thing, he's got just over a 2 ERA at home and a road ERA, which is over 5. So that's something that over the course of a full season now of sample size is hard to ignore. And with Nola, it really feels like you know what you're getting, whether it's at home or on the road. And he's done it so many times this year or in the past, has been so good in clinching scenarios over the past couple of years as well, including clinching a postseason spot and the division this year in both of his starts. So if you gave Nola a chance to clinch a series on the road, maybe up 2-0, that's a spot you'd really feel comfortable with. And even with the unknown that comes with Nola starts sometimes, I just think that Nola in a scenario like that where he's on the road and potentially in a hostile environment, I just think that the even keel nature in which Nola pitches, I'd like Aaron in that spot. I really would. So I also think having Sanchez play in front of these fans where he has much less postseason experience than Aaron Nola would be ideal too. Give him some confidence. And with Nola, he just really seems like one of those guys who would not care at all if Rob Thompson came up to him and said, "Hey, Knowles, we want you starting game three. We want to give Sanchez game two," just based on what our analytics are telling us and based on what he's done this year, I think he should he's going to be our game two starter. I think Aaron would be totally fine with that. He seems like a guy who truly will do whatever it takes as long as the Phillies win ball games. So that's kind of where I'm at on the Sanchez-Nola thing. I would personally start Christopher Sanchez. I just don't know, based on Rob Thompson's history and what he tends to do and how he puts guys in spots that they've been in before and kind of trust them to do what they do. I just think that he probably ends up going with Nola, but if it were me making the decision, I would be very okay, more than okay, with Christopher Sanchez starting game two at Citizens Bank Park. So before we get out of here, I'm not going to do a full preview of the Nats series this weekend just because it feels like it's a little bit of meaningless baseball, but just want to talk about the plan starter-wise with them down in Washington as they face the Nats in the final series of the year. So Friday night, it'll be Ranger Suarez going against Trevor Williams and the Nats. And with Ranger, you go into the postseason more banking on what he's done historically in the playoffs rather than what you've seen in the second half this year. I'm not sure he will maybe ever get back to where he was in the first half, where he's pitching to like a 1.7 ERA. But you know how good he's been in these scenarios, which leads me to believe that if he's given a short leash in a Game 4 situation, maybe in the DS, maybe in the National League Championship Series, who knows, that he can go at least 1 to 2 times around the order and have some success. His velo was back up in his last start against the Mets, which I thought was a positive thing. He was still struggling location-wise and just getting the finish on his breaking stuff, and the spin rate isn't exactly where you want it to be. But I thought it was a step in the right direction for sure, and we've seen how cold-blooded he can be in the postseason, just how cool, calm, and collected that he is. And I think that in a scenario like that, he can still thrive. So not totally counting out Ranger Suarez in the postseason to get the Phillies some good innings. And I think that if you're in a scenario where it's a Game 4 and you need somebody to go at least 1 to 2 times around the order, despite Ranger struggles, I think he can push himself to be able to get out and to be able to put the Phillies in a scenario where they can still win a ball game. So it's been better than the situations over the past couple of years, for sure. Last year, you had Sanchez, who hadn't really been proven and only pitched that one game in the D-back series and didn't really get much of a leash there. And the year before, you had Bailey Falter and Noah Syndergaard starting games in the CS and the World Series. So I think they're in a better spot now than where they were. And same goes for the bullpen as well, because this is really the strongest bullpen that they've had throughout any of these runs. You feel comfortable about a lot of guys. I know Estevez has given up some hard hit balls in the past few games. I think that's kind of what you come to expect with him. But you just hope that Hoffman gets the highest leverage scenario in the postseason, whether that's in the 8th or the 9th inning. And then Strom, Kirkering, and those guys kind of follow suit. So that's where I'm at with the Ranger. That's where I'm at with the bullpen a little bit. Got off track there for a sec. But then you have Wheeler going on Saturday and Nola on Sundays. Kind of tune-up spots here. So, again, just let them get some work. Get them out. Keeping them right is the priority. We'll see how everything shakes out with the number one seed. You won't even really know who you're facing potentially until, because you won't know how the playoff picture shakes out until later on Monday, and then obviously you'll watch the wild card to see who the Phillies matchup wound up being. But the bye was the most important thing, and now I think based off of the matchups, you could argue for both the 1 and the 2 seed, given with what happens around the league this weekend. So I think just watching all those games and not sweating that the Phillies, have to clinch something themselves will be, exciting and at the same time relaxing to watch. So that is good stuff there. So that'll wrap up this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you as always. And I'll be back with a full NLDS preview pod next week where we will know the matchup. And let's gear up for a little run here, because this is truly exciting and truly nerve-wracking as well. But it's going to be good. And I am really, really looking forward to getting postseason baseball, Red October, back in Philadelphia. So for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein. Have a good weekend, everybody. I'll see you next week.